Ladies and gentlemen, the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. If you're just tuning in, you're lucky. That first segment was all over the world and the road.
If there had been a cop behind us, he would have pulled us over.
That's
but,
right.
But you're even luckier you don't listen in between the segments.
Yeah.
Because there's colon talk.
Right. With your apricot seed. So we'll just leave it at that. But anyway, Bob, I see on the show plan. Let's follow that for a second.
Yeah.
You've got a little history lesson here with George Washington and chicken fricassee. So I'm wondering how those go together.
You know, have you ever been to Washington, D.C. and done the tourist thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you go down to what they call Old Town, or what do they call that, Main Street?
No, never been there.
Yeah. There's an area of D.C., and I took my daughter Olivia there after I did.
Old Town is right by the White House, isn't it?
I did. It is the White House. We did that one of those Vermeil gigs where I brought Olivia out. And so we spent the day there, and then we went on to the aquarium across the river in New Jersey. And for lunch, we went to this place called, I think it's called the Main Street Pub. And everything is 1600s. Everything they wear, the entire menu. And Olivia was like, I don't know, 14, 15. She was kind of rolling her eyes at first because she was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be horrible. Well, they had Thomas Jefferson and George Washington's two beers on tap, their recipes. And those boys knew how to brew beer, apparently, because it was really, really good. And then they had the entire menu, which, I don't know, what would you think it'd be, Conrad, if you had to go back then?
Or something like that?
And lots of root vegetables.
You're not wrong.
Lots of root vegetables.
You're not wrong. The birds were huge. And they're, you know, I believe it was Ben Franklin, his favorite bird. His favorite bird was turkey, to the point where he wanted to make that our national bird instead of the eagle.
Yeah, I heard that. Yep.
That would have ruined every Thanksgiving.
Oh, well,
we'd be eating eagles.
Pilgrims didn't bring eagles over on the boat. They brought turkeys, right? Yeah. So.
No, I think they were here.
Right. I don't know, man. You know.
Hey, it's my history lesson.
Okay.
Let me write it.
All right.
I don't know that. But I know the Spaniards brought the horses.
Okay. Yeah.
When the conquistadors came in.
Right.
But the Native Americans loved them.
So is the punchline a chicken fricassee
recipe here? Is there a lesson here?
One of the things I found that George Washington, that his wife used to make for him, one of his favorite dishes, was chicken fricassee.
Conrad, are you related to him?
George Washington?
His wife makes some stuff on the grill?
Well, George was busy trying to create a country.
Govern, yes.
Yeah. And, you know, he had horrible teeth.
Yeah, wooden ones at the end.
He had to because, you know, they didn't have dentures.
Right.
Especially didn't have them where you could buy them
online. I wonder what kind of wood that was, man. I hope it wasn't something bitter.
Are you done?
I am.
Well, chicken fricassee is one of those things I was playing with a few months ago. I don't know if you remember me telling you how great that chicken dish was that I made where I did the wine sauce and the cream and all that.
Is that the one that didn't turn out? I thought you called that frickin' chicken.
No, fricassee.
Okay,
no.
I'm with you.
Oh, man.
No, but this is one of our favorite meats. It's bone-in, skin-on chicken thighs. And you basically, what you do is you sauté those. You know, you take the chicken and you pat them dry.
Mm-hmm.
You season them with salt and pepper, coat them with a little bit of flour, and then you... you put them into a skillet or a hold it Dutch oven.
Okay. Both work.
Skin side down first, and you get a nice browning on them.
Mm-hmm. So a pretty hot skillet then.
Yep.
Yep.
And then you you basically, what do you call it when you freshen up a pan with wine?
Deglazing.
You deglaze it.
Yep.
And then you start throwing in all your ingredients, which is chicken broth, it's mushrooms, garlic, and there's an order you do this in, and you saute the mushrooms and vegetables first, then you add the butter and the mushrooms to the pan and let them cook down relatively undisturbed, it says, and I stole this recipe, it's not mine, and then you toss it and you let it cook until they've shrunken to about half the original size. And the mushroom's a great indicator of that. As you know, you've sautéed your share of mushrooms.
Right.
So a lot of these vegetables have their own built-in indicators. You know, you can tell when you've done your job, the onions are translucent, the mushrooms have shrunken. You've all seen your mushrooms shrink before.
God, don't I know that.
And then you pour in chicken broth, and I'll post this recipe. Thyme sprigs, which I love. I grow a lot of thyme. And then you cook it until the chicken is done. It's going to take about another 15 or 20 minutes. And
How do you know it's
something we use your thermal pen, of course.
Right, exactly.
And I would bring those thighs to 180.
Right.
This recipe calls for 165. We all know that thighs, the longer you leave them in, the better they are.
Right. You don't want any, and you want to get that blood right away from the bone. The worst thing you do is when you've got this beautiful piece of meat you made, and then you first cut, you run a knife right by the bone, and it's bloody in there. Just go a little warmer. The thigh will take it.
So if you do this right, you've browned your thighs, and then you've pulled them out, and you do all your vegetables when you do your deglazing and all this stuff. You get all this stuff simmering. You set your thighs on top, and you pour in your chicken stock, and you let that simmer for, I'm going to say it's going to take a half hour, but I haven't done quite this
you're
recipe
trying to
before.
Cook it down a little bit.
You're trying to cook the chicken, period, and then let the chicken broth do its work and magic with all the vegetables. Right at the end, then you pour the cream in, like around the chicken. You pour it into the bottom, and you just sort of scrape the bottom of the pan a little bit and don't disturb it, and you'll see it'll want to blend easily. It's a wonderful combination with that white wine. I mean, it's one of my favorite au jus or gravies, and you basically put the lid on, shut it off, you're done.
Yep.
You're done.
The lid on your Dutch oven.
Leave the lid off if you want it thicker. You can put the lid on if you just want to keep it warm as long as possible, depending on your serving. But that is George Washington's favorite dish.
Yeah. Easy to chew with wooden teeth because everything's nice and soft and done, yeah.
And that man knew a little bit about Independence Day. And
sure he did.
We're going to celebrate Independence Day here in a few days. And I love to talk about what was going on in the 1770s and 80s.
Yep.
And try and get people to actually think about the reason we celebrate it instead of just, you know, what franks they're going to put on the grill.
Yeah, well, that's important, too. But that's a result of all the work and history that goes into this.
Those founding fathers were all really wealthy men.
Yeah.
They all died, were either executed or died of old age broke.
Yeah.
They gave up their fortunes.
To lead the country.
Unlike the people that go to Washington now, they leave with a fortune.
Yeah.
And that's going to change. We're changing that.
Yeah.
We're putting an end to it. It's going to happen real soon. You're going to see.
Yeah. It is an election season, and I don't know about you, but I'm already tired of all the ads, and your mailbox is full of stuff, and it's just like, ugh. I mean, I admire people that want to take that on and be part of that.
Yeah.
But
the few truth tellers you see, they just float to the top. I see this guy named Thomas Massey from Kentucky, and I did a deep dive into him. What a cool guy.
Yeah.
He lives on, you know, he bought 40 acres, he built his house, he's just, you know, one of those wholesome guys raising his family, and that's a guy to keep your eye on.
Coming up next, we've got a new partner on the show, the Wealthy Street Bakery and the Hall Street Bakery, and we've got the proprietor, Andy Havemeyer, coming up next. You're going to want to listen in on this because this is much more than a bakery. You're listening to the Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.